You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, it's 2023. We are here with our good friend, Craig Hemke, tfmetalsreport.com. If you haven't been there, go there now. I promise you won't leave. And well, we're going to review 2022's predictions that Craig put forth and talk about 2023. Craig, happy new year. And it was an interesting year in 2022 for sure. My prediction is some things will be worse this year and some things will be better. And my one main prediction is because the Chinese economy is failing, we will be forced to wear face coverings around the world 24/7 so that it will help bail out the Chinese economy.
I hope that one's wrong.
Got to do something for them, right? And no one's buying their real estate.
Right. Well, you know, as we wrap up 22 and then heading to 23, I did what I always do, it seems. I've gotten in the habit of the last 6 or 7 years, I write up this annual forecast. If anything, it sharpens me in December. It forces me in that last part of the year to not tune out. It makes me kind of, you know, scour the internet for things that I've noticed that are trends for next year and all that kind of stuff. But it gives me something to refer back to as we go through the year, you know, see how I'm doing. And I don't want to say I was worse than the Fed. I'm not sure if I was any better than the Fed last year. You know, the Fed sat there, entered the year, inflation was transitory, right? And then we're not hiking rates until 2023. You know, and now you got some of those same buffoons talking about we're not cutting rates in 20. I mean, they don't know what they're talking about. They never predict a recession. They predicted zero of the last 8 recessions. And, you know, in recognizing that, you know, the Fed policy and monetary policy is kind of the key driver outside of all the unforeseen geopolitical stuff, you know, and everything else, I as I wrote last year's report, I thought, okay, I've seen this movie before. As soon as the 10-year note gets over 3% and the stock market falls 20%, the Fed's going to start to pivot and cut. Well, what I didn't foresee and what obviously the Fed didn't foresee was that Russia war on Ukraine. And I think that kind of held off the Fed's plans, and they let in, you know, by not doing anything, the inflation really got away from them. So then they go down this path of hyper hiking. How's that? I just made that term up on the spot.
Hyper hikes.
Hyper hiking. And now they have no idea the damage that they've done. Right. They just, we're going to do 75, 75, 75. We got to get this rid of this inflation. They have no idea what the damage is done, but I think the signs are all there as we begin this year. And so, yeah, the 10-year note went past 3%. And yeah, the S&P fell 20% and the Fed didn't do anything yet. I think what's going to get them this year is they're going to be left with that choice between either continuing to hike or the desperately flailing and faltering U.S. economy. And the most analogous years to the you know, to what we're going to see in 23 are 2010 and 2019, years that began with all the Wall Street banks and all the Fed governors talking about hiking rates all year. And instead, they had to pivot and start cutting rates and actually restarting QE by later in the year. And I think that's where we're headed again this year. And as the year begins with everybody talking about 5% and on the 10-year note and the Fed hike into 6 and all this stuff. I guess my opinion has become kind of more rather than contrarian, more commonplace these days. But that's where I think we're headed. And I think it's important that people understand that this year.
All right. So hyper hiking.
Yeah. Really digging us into a hole.
And I'm just telling you right now, I'm buying that URL as we speak. Because GoDaddy said I can buy it for a penny.
There you go. You can have it. The hyperhike.com.
Yeah. Hyperhike.
Well, and as you're buying that, I'll remind people that they can go to my site. I write up this report It's for free. Anybody, I mean, my site's $15 a month, but the report's free. You can just scroll down. You can find it and read it. And if you think I've got any idea what I'm talking about, or if you think this is going to be an interesting year, you can join the site. We've done this before. Use a coupon code 2023 and you get half off your first month. And then you can kick the tires and see if my site and what I do and what everybody on the site does is worth it. But man, this is a year. If you're just going to buy what your stockbroker's shoveling, or, you know, or what CNBC is trying to get you to believe on a daily basis, now you're going to be led astray and you're going to miss, again, what happened, what comes next. 2019 and 2010 were that pivot and start cutting years, and the metals responded favorably both years in the back half. But where it really got fun was in 2011 and 2020. That's what you don't want to miss out on. So again, prepare. Get your alternative source of information like Financial Survival Network, like TF Metals Report, and think for yourself. That's going to be really important this year.
Yeah, well, there's a novel concept, thinking for yourself, right? Critical thought, independent thinkers. You know, another thing, look, I will tell you, inflation, transitory and all that, we talked about it. We totally nailed that. The one thing that is driving inflation that nobody's talking about is breakdown of social order, of the fact that you can just steal from retailers at will, and the retailers can't do anything about you. God forbid they shoot you, even though they should. And this is adding costs. It's hundreds of billions of dollars. It is a tax on the economy that no one's discussing. I'll bet you that 10 to 15% of price increases at big box stores and at supermarkets is due to rampant shoplifting and losses. Theft. Mm-hmm. Losses. Shrinkage, as they call it in the trade.
Didn't breakage, that's right. Didn't I see a story, Kerry, at the end of last year that New York City now has vowed they won't prosecute anybody under 17?
It's very possible. I don't know why. They should just look, if law enforcement and the criminal justice system is the cause of crime, then we should just do away with it and we'll be crime free, right?
Right. Well, I'm thinking I'm in the process of watching Better Call Saul, man. That'd be a thing for slipping Jimmy McGill. He'd just go to New York City. You'd get a bunch of kids that are 16 and under, have them walk in and steal a bunch of shit, and then fence it on some website, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you make all kinds of money doing that.
Great business model.
Yeah.
You know, in California, if you steal less than $950, you don't get prosecuted. It's a misdemeanor.
Right. Right. I think we're missing the boat, man. We're working way too hard doing what we're doing.
Really. But I'll bet you that is a substantial part of sale price increases that nobody's talking about. Harder to steal gasoline from the pump and other commodities. But look, they were even stealing from railroad cars in California. They knocked over an Amazon train and stole millions of dollars worth of stuff. I haven't heard any more of that, but it could very well be going on and it's hushed up.
Well, and it's definitely, I remember you and I talking about this a year ago. That's definitely a risk. You talk about, you know, they always try to say this risk is priced in and that risk is priced in. Societal discord is a risk that's not priced in. Now, look, I don't want to go off way off on a tangent, but I remember a year ago at this time saying one of the things that you're going to have to watch really closely is if eventually, and we're getting there now, the data is unequivocal that all these vaccine mandates did more harm to people than good. If by 6 or 8 months from now, everybody knows somebody who died mysteriously, you know, or whatever.
Died suddenly. That's the buzzword, right?
I mean, you get to that kind of point of critical mass, and you want to talk about, I mean, you already feel loss of faith in government and institutions and everybody else. That's not something that I think is fully appreciated. Everybody just say, oh, no, everything's fine. Okay, and maybe it is.
Hey, and maybe we imagined it all, and all these athletes dying on the field, it's pure coincidence. And we shouldn't be jumping to conclusions about something that, you know, but yeah.
And Kerry, I'll just turn this back. I want to turn this back to the economics part of it, in that I had a person email me last week that is a subscriber to my site that said, why do you believe all this? You know, the vaccines do such harm. I mean, I think they're fine. Everything. And I said, I guess I'm where I kind of broke my maiden in terms of trust was when I started following the markets as closely as I do and the news as closely as I do. And you saw it again just last week with the jobs report. You look at the headlines that are put out there and the politicians that run with the headlines. This is a Goldilocks report. This is just great. 220,000 jobs and wages coming down and all this stuff. And it just gets repeated over and more Americans working than ever. Isn't this great? When anyone can open the actual report from the BLS and read that the only reason that there are more jobs is they're all part-time.
Yeah,
it's part-time jobs and multiple job holders. And what does that mean? That means the average guy or gal that had a good paying job, making $60,000 a year salary with benefits, got fired, got laid off, got whatever. And then that person had to then take 3 part-time jobs to try to make ends meet with no benefits. That's horrible. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics looks at it and says, well, we lost one job here. We added 3 jobs there. That's a net gain of 2 jobs.
It's a great world. It's a wonderful world, as Louis Armstrong said.
Anybody can see the truth. And yet you're told the masses, the great unwashed, everybody's told, no, everything's great. So when you understand how you're being fooled and lied to and propagandized in an area like that, then all of a sudden your eyes are open to realize how you're being lied to and propagandized everywhere.
Everything. Hey, we're living in one giant, what the
Truman Show
thing has proven, and you and I have known it for years. This isn't anything new to us.
Right.
We're living in a giant psyop.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And that's only going to get worse. But I think because of the Twitter files and everything that's been going on there, that people are more aware of it than ever. Whether they care or not, you know, the problem is that the average person is working those 3 gig jobs just to not go bankrupt and not get thrown out on the street. And they really can't, get into the societal ills and the politics and the
economics. Right. Who has time?
That. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I got a family to feed. I know what you're saying is true, but honestly, I can't be bothered. Right.
Don't just survive. Thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Fury Gold Mines is a Canada-focused exploration and development company committed to aggressively growing its scalable high-grade gold assets with major drill campaigns planned across its 3.5 million ounce portfolio. Fury is led by a management team of proven explorers and developers with a track record of success in advancing and financing project development. Fury Gold Mines is well positioned to create value for investors with low-risk development growth and the potential for a new major discovery. Fury Gold Mines trades on the TSX and NYSE American under the ticker FURY. To learn more, go to furygoldmines.com. That's furygoldmines.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
That's right. And that's, believe me, if anybody listening to it doesn't think that's part of the equation, you know, that's part of what they understand, you know? And so the plates just keep on spinning. Everybody that has all these parties that have an interest in keeping the plates spinning, keep the lies going. You know, we've discussed it before, is the political financial media complex. And they've all got their beaks in the trough and they're all going to lie to you.
So true. And hey, so predictions, further predictions. So obviously rising unemployment, rising, I don't want to call it civil unrest because that's like riots. No, what we're talking here is rising lawlessness. And that effectively hindering the functioning of the economy and society as a whole. That's what we're really talking about. I don't want to go so far as to say societal breakdown, but the doubting or the lack of confidence in the system to carry on and cover the majority of the people's needs. And the lawlessness taking place in numerous cities across the country further reinforces that loss of faith, whether it's a plan or whether it's just the natural evolution an entropy that takes place in society. We can leave that to others, but it's a real issue. And like you said, certain medical issues and the way they were handled really further adding fuel to that fire.
It frays the cohesiveness of the society, you know, where everybody's kind of benefiting, everybody's feeling better. You know, everybody's, you're not going to go breaking the law because you don't need to. You're feeling good about things, all of that. As you know, and again, as this equates, relates to where it appears we are headed here in January 2023, because again, there's going to be geopolitical developments. There's going to be de-dollarization developments. There's going to be political development. There are all these things that nobody can foresee. But what we can do is look at history as a guide, right? Past is prologue, that kind of stuff. And we can find years that are analogous to the year, what we see in the year ahead. Now, if you accept, as I do, that everything changed in March of 2009, after the great financial crisis changed the paradigm. Right. And in March of 2009, the Fed rolled out their first QE program for about $600 billion. It was going to be a one-off. We're not monetizing the debt. Right. All that stuff. Every program since has been larger. And that's by necessity because the deficit keeps growing. You know, the debt keeps growing exponentially, all this kind of stuff. Think about what happens with higher interest rates. Not only does the cost of servicing that debt, that line item in the budget, make the budget deficit, blows the deficit hole even wider as that goes toward $1 trillion a year, exceeding defense and everything else. But you also have tax receipts, personal income tax receipts, corporate tax receipts, all those tax receipts falling, government source of revenue falls. So again, the thing widens. So as rates go up, not only does the interest cost go up, but the economy slows and the outlays, you know, the receipts come in slower. Deficit gets wider. The whole thing spins faster out of control. So in the face of that, since this new paradigm developed in 2009, we've been on the doorstep now twice before, and the Fed has chosen to cut rates and pump the economy. They did that in 2010. They did it in 2019. As those years began, in 2010, QE was a one-off, never going to happen again. The economy was great. The economy began to demonstrably slow in the first two quarters of 2010. Into the third quarter, and here came QE number two in November 2010. What does gold and silver do? Went sideways for the first 4 or 5 months of the year. In the back half of the year, silver went from 18 to 30 in 2010. And then the real fireworks happened in 2011. Okay, fast forward to 2018. Many of the same Wall Street actors are still around today that in 2018 we're talking about. Oh, yeah, the 10-year note's going to 5%. The Fed's going to hike 3 or 4 times in 2019. The economy began to demonstrably slow in the first and second quarter. And by June of 19, the Fed was cutting, right? Nobody was talking about that in December or January, but the faltering economy made it a fait accompli. What happened? Again, the metals went sideways for the first half of the year and then took off in the back half and then got crazy in 2020. And again, that's the most analogous period to now. The same things, same economists, same Wall Street guys. Oh, yeah, yeah, the Fed's going to hike to 6%. Oh, yeah, yeah, the 10-year note's going to 5%. No, it's not. And they'll be talking about cutting and actually cutting by summertime. And then they're going to be talking about QE programs again by the end of the year. Help, Kerry, somebody, I was talking to Tom Luongo earlier today. He said he saw a news report say that AOC, your favorite congresswoman, is now saying that the Fed needs to be resolved or rejected and eliminated. We need to get, even AOC is talking about getting rid of the Fed because they're not printing money fast enough.
Well, maybe it's not such a good idea.
Yeah, really, if she's on board. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, we're headed that direction again. Mm-hmm. And the next program is going to be bigger. The next crisis, financial crisis, is going to be larger.
Oh, yeah.
And the only question then becomes, you know, will there be enough credibility left in the Fed that when they play these same peekaboo shenanigan rhetorical games about, oh, yes, we're going to reduce the balance sheet and we're going to blah, 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 the next time nobody buys it. And rather than, you know, where the shares go up and then come back down and gold goes up and comes back down, maybe next time they don't come back down. And Kerry, we haven't even talked about physical metal yet. You know, a remonetization maybe of gold and Chinese demand and Russian demand and silver stockpiles and copper stockpiles and all these physical metals that are being depleted, the stockpiles being depleted. who knows what that impact's going to have. But anyway, we talk about all that in my report. I encourage everybody to go. I'll send you the link, Kerry. Maybe you can just put it on this page, put it in the YouTube description.
Yeah, sure.
And if you want to join and learn more, just use that coupon code of 2023 and you get half off your first month and see if we know what we're talking about.
All right. I like it. I like it. So, hey, we have seen annual seasonal pickup in gold, which had kind of backed off for a couple of years, really, with all the pandemic related disruptions of the market. But like clockwork, mid Q4, we started seeing gold.
Yeah.
Find a How about base. That? And then silver. I want to talk to you about silver because it appears silver hit its low in that 17 plus range. And it's been really strong, but it hasn't broken out yet.
It's back into its kind of consolidation phase between 22 and 28. And that'll be the thing to watch because that's typically how it works. You know, who was I talking to? I think of who I was talking to yesterday. Oh my God, all my days run together. Oh my God, Kerry, who was it? Geez, what a senior moment. The Wall Street Silver, Jim at Wall Street Silver. Okay. And he's been in touch with Maria Bartiromo and Charles Payne and all these people in business channels that are like, yeah, we want to have you on, but we're going to wait until price starts to break out. And that's how it works, right? Once price finally breaks out, then all of a sudden, here comes the spotlight, here comes the spec money, everybody paying attention. And that's how I got to my targets this year. I think we get to 2,300 at some point in gold because you break out above 22,000 and 2,100, you typically run about 10% on all that speculative interest. And then that's the same thing with silver, only you run about 20%. So silver breaks out above 30, it goes to 36. And I'm very comfortable and very confident in saying the only thing I wonder about, like I said, is whether there will be a give back or instead, will it be more like the late 70s? Where gold went to 200 and then the Fed played their games and went to 100 and then it went to 900.
Yeah.
Will that move is coming. That type of move that doesn't look back is coming. And it'd just be a question whether the Fed has any credibility left after this next cycle of what's definitely coming of cuts in QE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you are correct. I'm kind of excited to see where it winds up. It's definitely heading in the way you're saying, and I'm content to just sit back and wait.
Yep.
But
that's gonna be the key. Because,
you know, who haven't, then you got to start planning on what's going to happen here because there's a certain inevitability to what we've been talking about, Craig.
Yes, that's correct. I'm going to tell you what I've told almost everybody that's interviewed me in the last week. I hate using this word. Because I can just hear the trolls in the background going, I've been patient now for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. But the key really, especially for this next rally, is patience because prices are in those ranges between 22 and 28 in silver and 1,700 and 2,000 gold. And it's going to go up and then it's going to go back down. And it's going to go up and it's going to go back down. And it's going to be very easy to get frustrated and then miss out, then start chasing. So be patient and wait. Know, though, that the Fed has to keep the plate spinning as long as they possibly can. And so they will pivot. History suggests that they will pivot when the economic data gets bad. Once the U.S. economy prints a couple of negative job reports, that kind of stuff, they'll pivot. And then it's going to be off to the races again. So everybody needs to be patient but ready.
And that's what the reports, the GDP and the employment manipulated reports are all geared for the purpose of letting them put it off for another quarter or two.
Right.
But it's got to happen. I mean, that's the whole purpose of these investors saying, okay, they're really serious this time. I'm getting double-digit rates here. I seriously doubt it, barring a major, loss of faith, international loss of faith in the dollar. And well, the U.S. is raising rates, China's cutting rates, and all sorts of interesting things. Hey, so go over to tfmetalsreport.com and make sure you use that code. Tell us the code again, Craig.
2023. It's an easy one to remember. You sign up for a monthly subscription, put in 2023 as a coupon code. You'll pay $7.50 for a month of access. It's not like it's an arm breaker. Then you stick around, it'll go to full freight, but at least give people at least maybe a chance to check it out and see if we know what we're talking about.
Hey, that's a morning pit stop at a certain undisclosed coffee shop that I go
good
to.
Good point.
Yeah, not much. All right. Hey, Craig, appreciate it. If you've got a question for Craig, make sure you shoot me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. We'll get you an answer. And when you're at the site, you can just click through to Craig's site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and make sure you sign up for your free newsletter. Craig, we'll talk to you in a couple months and see how this thing's shaking out.
You got it, my friend.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.